Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, Van Riemsdyk with a terrific play on Bucevic. Now they're pounding Bucevic on the ice. Wilson's throwing punches.
He went after Nick Bucevic.
This is ridiculous.
Panarin.
What is Wilson doing? And this is where Wilson loses it.
Yeah, well, we all saw it. And there are lines that can't be crossed in this game. And there's just zero respect for the game in general. You know, you got one of the star players in this league now who could have got seriously, seriously hurt in that incident.
I figured you should have some more respect for the game and for the players. And I don't honestly know where to start. It's just horrible. Zero respect. I don't know why I'm surprised.
And Arthur Motes today for a Roundtable Tuesday. We'll start right here with Tom Wilson. I don't think you'll have to dump this, Kale. I think you can allow for me to say this. I don't think there's a need for a 30-second delay to kick in. Tom Wilson's the biggest dingleberry in sports. Can I get away with that? Dingleberry?
I'll allow it.
Chris, Arthur, you guys like that one?
That's PG-13 enough.
I was also thinking turd and douchebag, but I figured dingleberry would fit.
I thought the last one of those is one that you might have to dump, but that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, dingleberry seems borderline nice in this case, like a charitable sort of comment.
What a scumbag. Seriously.
Well, don't tell Ryan Whitney that. He thinks the people who are the real problem here are the ones crying about Tom Wilson.
Tom Wilson should be kicked out of hockey. You're an idiot, Whit. That take. This ain't it.
I can't believe I went to bat for that guy and said he should be on the NHL on TNT. I'm sticking up for Ryan Whitney. Now he's letting this now he's giving this Neanderthal a license to kill.
Well, I think he's like a little object lesson here, though. Ryan Whitney, who's away from the game now, I think he's part of the problem, though. Because like, if that had happened to Sidney Crosby on the receiving end of something like that, and he was his teammate, he'd have been freaking out. You know, Tom Wilson's a scourge. But I think most people in hockey, as long as it's not their teammate, are more than fine with
Ryan,
this.
Ryan Whitney wasn't even a tough guy. He was a finesse player.
He was the opposite. He was the opposite of a tough guy. I mean, every hockey player is, you know, a tough guy by definition because they play hockey.
Right.
But, like, in hockey parlance, Ryan Whitney was not an enforcer. He was the guy who, if he got hit, an enforcer tried to take a chunk out of somebody for his sake.
A $5,000 fine. Arthur, in the NFL, what do you get fined $5,000 for? An equipment malfunction if you
socks.
Wear the wrong cleats?
Yeah, if you got the wrong socks on, if you have a tinted visor, if you have cleats on that don't match the team uniform, sure.
Oh, my goodness. That is unreal.
Don't knock the discipline, all right? They are punishing him within the ramifications of their, you know, agreement. So it's all
well, good. Arthur, the funniest part about the NHL's Department of Player Safety, which is like the most ironic nickname for it of all time, is that they hired the NHL equivalent of Vontaze Burfict to run it. George Parros, everyone's like, oh, he went to Princeton. George Parros had 1,092 penalty minutes in 474 games.
No blood,
he had 18 goals and 18 assists. No, he was a guy that went in there, he fought, he had a bunch of concussions, and they said, you know what? We want to make sure the game is safer for the players. We don't want to have guys taking liberties. Let's hire somebody in the most prominent role.
He is from Washington, PA, so be careful.
I know. Oh, the pride of Washington, high school PA. Yes.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
He might be undefeated. Don't play with him now.
undefeated in the streets of Washington County. George Parros probably was, but I mean, that, you know what, in a nutshell, his existence as the director of player safety in the league is sort of the perfect way to encapsulate how the league feels about player safety. Let's hire a literal goon from the days when, like, you know, you could still fight more often,
yeah,
and say he's going to try to keep players safer, because they don't really care, of course, because a lot of the people that watch hockey like this.
Yeah, man, this is the good old hockey right here, man. A little bloodbath, punch it out, and after that, all right, go ahead, continue the game.
Now introducing as the czar of NFL discipline, Jack Tatum.
Right.
No, man, we need Vontaze. That's going to be his new role once he retires. It's all good. But, man, it's just crazy to see Tom just continue to do this type of stuff. I feel like every time he comes back from a suspension, we're like, all right, did he really clean up his act? The NHL said they're not going to give him a life, a year ban or anything like that. So this got to be different this time. But he never fails. It's always something. And it's always right on that brink of, dude, like, are you really trying to hurt this guy right here? Like, what's going through your mind with some of these things that you're doing? I don't understand it.
Why would he stop when the Capitals send out smart aleck tweets defending his actions, and the NHL continually gives him a slap on the wrist? There's no incentive to stop for him.
You're absolutely right. That's the perfect storm right here. When your organization is going to back it, and regardless of if the Caps want to flat out say they're backing it or not, when you put out little memes and tweets that make light of the situation, you're supporting it. If that would have been no different if the Bengals would have came out after Vontaze had hit AB and they put a picture up of AB knocked out.
Did you feel like the Bengals backed him up? Did you feel like they always had his back and made excuses for him?
I thought they had his back, but they wouldn't publicly go to the full extent of, we're going to make light of the situation.
Okay.
They would just... We understand that it was kind of on the borderline.
The Capitals deleted that tweet, though, Arthur. They deleted that tweet right quick, and I'm wondering if there's a social media manager who's on LinkedIn today. No, I know, I know. Well, that's part of the problem too, though.
I mean,
is that it's fun? It's real funny. I have one, and I never check it. Every 3 months, I go and accept anyone who has requested me. No. No, I think I don't understand LinkedIn. I don't understand LinkedIn. Because mainly I've had, like, what we do is not a real job. It's a silly job. Like, I think LinkedIn is for accountants and people with real jobs.
I agree. I feel like they're important people. Because I have a LinkedIn as well, and I'm just like you, Mosey. Every couple of months, I go up there, accept everyone, check a couple of messages. But I'm just like,
yeah.
I don't really, like, I'm getting offers about, oh, you want to come work at Dick's Sporting Good because you were a sports person. You know what I mean? Or do you want to come and work in this media graphic design because you do media broadcasting, but because it just says media, we'll put you in media graphics. I'm like, what? No, I don't care about any of this stuff right here, man.
I think Phil Bork was a voice of reason on this. He said on Twitter, and this is a good one for you, Arthur. He said after he saw the video, the former Penguin and now broadcaster, when he saw the hits last night from Wilson, the punch to the back of the head, and then taking Panarin with his helmet off by his hair and shoving him to the ice. You know, this is one of the stars of the game who's now done for the season. He was a Hart Trophy finalist last year. You know, this would be like the equivalent of a dirty hit on a quarterback after the play, a star quarterback like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or somebody along those lines. Bork said, where is the NHLPA in this? Why does the PA, he didn't, now I'm adding to it, pretty much said, why does the PA defend the villain here, the guy that's injuring other players? Why doesn't the union defend the victims in situations like this? What's your theory on that? Because that would happen in the NFL, right, with Vontaze Burfict?
Yeah, it definitely would. It definitely would. It's that fine line where, even though we feel like this person's in the wrong and we don't want to support him for the greater good of the union, you kind of have to back him. That's that weird, you know, fine line that you have to toe right there from where you're having grievances with players amongst other players and things like that. But eventually what ends up happening is it happens to so many people that, okay, we say forget about who this player is, man. It's more about all of us. And Tom is definitely going in that direction. Vontaze got to there. I mean, Richie Incognito was another one who got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But with Tom, it's kind of like he's right on the brink of it. This could potentially be it, because just how it wasn't necessary. That's the part. It's just like, at least with Vontaze.
When you, say the brink of it, you mean like the rest of the players turn on him?
Absolutely.
Is what you mean?
Absolutely. Okay. And that's when you get the PA saying, well, hey, we're not going to keep protecting this guy. We're going to do this instead. But it takes the majority of the players to have that type of fed upness about it. Right now, I just don't think that they are vocally to that point yet. Whereas you think about with Vontaze, you had Pittsburgh Steelers people going crazy, right? Big fan bases. Baltimore Ravens, their fan base is going crazy. You would get these bigger fan bases that could really put it out there and keep it in the NFL's face. With the NHL, they're just not having that same level of impact just yet. I mean, you talk to some people, they won't even know what happened in that game because they don't watch hockey to the same extent as you see in football. But if enough people talk about it, then the NHL will feel pressure, and then that's when they'll make a move on them.
I don't know if I agree with that, only because I think Arthur's underestimating the fact that the NHL is the worst league of all the four in terms of responding to like public pressure. Like it's run by just like, do you ever see the movie Blade, Arthur?
Absolutely.
You know, there's the vampires behind the scenes who are like wearing suits. They're like the real fancy vampires, never do anything. That's basically the NHL's board of governors, a bunch of guys in the shadows who don't want anything to change and are completely resistant to, like, any kind of maneuvers. You know, my impression of, like, what the big issue with Tom Wilson is twofold. Well, three. Obviously, he plays on and over the edge regularly and is a bully out there. The second thing is that outside of Ryan Reeves, I can't think of one other heavyweight in the league that definitively strikes fear into his heart in terms of challenging him to a fight for all the people who say, oh, fighters would have deterred this. He's only afraid of Reeves. Maybe Matt Martin, but that's like a 50-50. Only Ryan Reeves has repeatedly gotten the better of him and very amusingly cross-checked him in the face once. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing about that makes Wilson's situation tough is like, it would be easier for hockey to knock a goon out of the game like this for good if he was just a goon, right? If all he did was just take liberties constantly and he was useless as a player. The guy is a bona fide top-line winger. Maybe Rodney Harrison's the best example in football.
Wait a minute. That's exactly what we said about Vontaze. We said
He's a better football hockey player, though, than Perfect is
Perfect was still a high-end football player. You watch him as a linebacker, he still made a ton of plays. That's the reason why he was able to last as long as he was lasting.
Other difference, though, that like Perfect's job description was to hit people, and he was doing it in a way that was illegal. But Tom Wilson's job description, in a lot of ways, is to score goals, be a power forward in the actual hockey sense. Like, the stuff he does on the side here is technically not really his job description, although I'm sure the Capitals would say it is because they like the fact that he's in everybody's head all the time. Is Tom Wilson out there looking to go headhunting here? Is Tom Wilson on the ice? And
We know that's a real effect.
No, I know, but as long as he's doing illegal stuff, people have good reason to be worried, A, when he's doing stuff like this, and as long as the NHL says, no, it's a $5,000 fine, that's just good old-time hockey, he's going to keep getting away with it. Do you know what they called what he did to Panarin there? He got fined for the punch on Buchnevich. They called what he did to Panarin wrestling.
Yeah, they also said an incident. I think they said the incident was, quote, commonplace. As if this is just something you turn on an NHL game and you see.
This happens all the time.
Every night.
If Panarin's shoulder, Arthur, doesn't hit the ice before his head, he's either in the hospital or in the morgue right now. And that's like not even an exaggeration. People always say, oh, come on, quit clutching you're clutching your pearls here. You're being Mr. Goody Two Shoes. If he hits his head square on the ice with all his weight coming down, best case scenario, Artemi Panarin is in the hospital. Worst case, he is on a slab.
You're speaking to a sympathetic audience when you say that. When you're going to get no pushback or resistance in this town saying things.
I'll give Penguins fans credit, though. When they had a guy who did stuff like this, who granted wasn't like a 225-pound heavyweight, when Matt Cook did this, I will give Penguins fans this much credit. Once it got pretty obvious, and we've long passed this point with Wilson, once Matt Cook became an obvious menace to the sport, I did not feel like Penguins fans supported him vocally or otherwise.
Well, but he had guys in the dressing room that turned on him, too. I'll never forget after Cook
That's
took
a credit
out,
to the players on
it
the
is,
team,
I
too,
agree.
Then.
When Cook took out Savard and they started Rule 48 because of it, and it pretty much – he came back, but Savard was never the same player again. It pretty much ended his career. I remember Bill Guerin at his dressing room stall 2 days later pretty much ripping his teammate for it, ripping his own guy.
And as he should have.
And at that point, it wasn't technically an illegal hit. It was just that was like against the unwritten code, so to speak, a dirty blindside hit to the head of another NHL player. The reason why the NHLs are the biggest hypocrites when it comes to stuff like this, much bigger than the NFL, is that when the NFL, the concussion lawsuit stuff and hit to the head business to handle and worry about, they knew that they could eradicate that part of the game. And because we're so obsessed with football, even though it might not have been the game we all grew up with, we were going to come back to it. Everyone was going to keep watching. The NHL's problem is, I believe Gary Bettman and Bill Daly and the higher-ups of the league really think if they completely eradicate hits like this and eliminate fighting altogether, they're going to lose a big portion of their audience. I think they feel that way, that the sport will not be as popular.
Shouldn't they, though?
What's that?
I mean, they should, though, when you think about that. I mean, of the big three sports in America, I mean, hockey definitely is the or not even the big three, the big four. Hockey is the last one, just because it's not what we grow up watching.
Here's why you're right about that. Chris can attest to this. What are the things in the NHL that strike a chord and get people talking beyond, say, Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals when the
Penguins?
Fights and scoring.
Borderline
I
plays.
I want to see the fights. I want to see you get knocked through the glass. That was one of the things that I remember early on that got me involved in watching hockey. I remember seeing a highlight, a guy get hit through the glass, and I'm like, whoa, what sport is this? I love it. And then when I found out they could fight, I said, oh, man, as a football player, you know how many times I would have loved to fight a guy? And y'all get to do it, and it's not in trouble. Like, that was the thing that drew me. And then from there, you see the scoring. So without a doubt, when you talk about taking some of these bigger hits, these borderline hits, it's not like a football or basketball or baseball, where the majority of us as Americans grew up playing these sports as kids. So we always have that foundation to back it.
Not only that, but the Canadian part, the people that grew up with the game will say that this is like the fabric of the game too. So you're fighting battles on both sides. You're trying to interest the casual American sports fan that's drawn to the violence of the game, that likes the hits and the fighting. And then you have the Canadian purist who says, well, this is part and parcel with hockey, and this is the way we've always done things. So that's why, even though the lawsuits happen and concussions and everything else, that's why you don't see the game change for those
reasons.
Arthur,
are you familiar with the Todd Bertuzzi play from way back when?
I am not. I'm
2004, Todd Bertuzzi, big dude, came up behind Steve Moore, who was playing for the Colorado Avalanche, I believe it was at that point, and Bertuzzi's on the Canucks. He came up behind him, sucker punched him as they were skating down the ice in the back of the head, and then fell on his head and face and ended Steve Moore's career. Pony, I believe he got charged with assault for it.
Yeah, because it was in Canada.
Or battery.
Right.
Because it was in Canada. The upshot, as somebody pointed out to me on Twitter today, is after that play happened, I believe Todd Bertuzzi not only came back to the NHL, but played like 500 more games.
Yeah, he wasn't
after he did something. After he did something that you could absolutely construe as
that's
legitimate
crazy
assault. He played over five. And it's, Pony, would you say that's the worst infraction you've seen on the ice in terms of this? Or is McSorley
yeah,
and Brashear probably?
It's in the team picture, for sure.
Right. And so not only does a guy like Bertuzzi, who's a good player, mind you, he's like very comparable to Wilson in terms of like how good he was at his best, and a big dude like that, not only is he not banned from the sport for something heinous, he is also welcomed back in for like a robust career's length of time.
Here's another take from a former Penguin, Matthew Barnaby, who was a tough guy. Quote, every team would back up the Brinks truck for Wilson, no suspension, carry on, and if you want to hold him accountable, have a tough guy on your team. That's his answer.
Like that last part's where Matt Barnaby's wrong. That last part's where Matt Barnaby's wrong.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm sorry. Tom Wilson would go, say Matt Barnaby was on the Penguins still, and he was a tough guy, and he fought Tom Wilson after this happened to, I don't know, Jared McCann, like somebody, maybe like Jake Guentzel, okay? Guy who's getting outweighed by a lot and everything else. Matt Barnaby would fight. He would most likely get his ass kicked by Tom Wilson in that fight. And then I'd like to know how he thinks that would have deterred Tom Wilson from doing it again. He probably would have done it again just for a chance to cave Matt Barnaby's skull in a second time in a fight. Like, come on. That is just such, like, fake macho BS from guys who thought getting punched in the face was somehow virtuous because their teammates would do stick taps on the board afterwards.
Tom Wilson should be kicked out of hockey. You're an idiot, Whit. Bad take. This ain't it.
Man, Ryan Whitney's like one of those guys who everyone like seems to like. Barstool, hockey, you know, former Penguin, etc. He's getting slaughtered worse for this take than I am for what I've said about Najee Harris. I'm not public enemy number one in Pittsburgh anymore. Thank you, Ryan Whitney and Tom Wilson. Appreciate it. Congrats.
I like that somebody managed to find a video of Joe Pavelski just absolutely putting the wood to Ryan Whitney in a fight like 10 years ago or something. That's impressive.
In a perfect world, Arthur, what happens to Tom Wilson after last night, in your opinion? Perfect world.
Perfect world, man. I feel like you have to really hit him where it hurts. Not only just suspending him for a substantial amount of games, but I also feel like you got to tap his pocket way more than $5,000. That is the part that's going to get your attention the most as a professional athlete. When you start getting those the fines being substantial, you think about what the NFL was able to do in terms of cleaning up the big hits. People still wanted to do the big hits. We even flirted with saying, man, we don't care about how much it costs until you start to see that number double, then triple. When you would see James Harrison get fined when he was getting fined for some of these hits, it instantly changes your dynamic.
How much was he getting fined? Do you remember? Like what ballpark?
Absolutely, man. I want to say he got fined. It was up to six figures mm-hmm. is what he had got fined the year where he had the two knockouts. Was it Colt McCoy and Muhammad Massaquoi?
Massaquoi,
yeah. When he knocked out those two guys, they said the fines equaled up close to six figures during that season for James Harrison. You talk about six figures compared to $5,000. $5,000, some of these guys are spending that a night out. Like, that's normal.
You lose that play in that Blu-ray or whatever the hell that game is called.
A Blu-ray, that's easy. Like, we're not tripping on $5,000. You might bet $5,000 on who gets out of the parking lot fastest. Like, that's what that is. But when you talk about six figures, 100K and up, now you're getting attention. Now all of that cheap stock goes away when you're like, bro, he's tapping my pockets. And then when the owner or the commissioner says, well, look, and every time you do something after that, we're going to double it. And then we're going to triple it. And we're just going to keep
going. They could give him a massive – like Rafi Torres has the longest suspension in NHL history, and it was 41 games. Wilson had mm-hmm. two in 2017, two in 2018, and then he had one earlier this year, obviously.
Seven gamer, so you can, really vicious.
Seven games. Yeah. That was it.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. So you, but my point of bringing that up is you can clearly say if you want to that he has demonstrated that he won't change. Like some people might have said, oh, this is in his past. Well, this year's suspension means that it's not. You give him 41 games, I think that gets his attention because if you don't do that, here's how this ends. I'll be serious. Here's how this ends, I think, if you don't eventually give this guy the monster suspension that costs him seven figures. He either paralyzes or kills somebody on the ice, or somebody as big as him takes a cheap shot and does that to him. I honestly mm-hmm. believe that the way things are going with Tom Wilson, it ends with somebody's life either ruined or ended, and maybe it's his.
You should see some of the texts we're getting during this conversation. I'm not even going to read them because I don't want to feed into it. I'm tempted to because I don't like Tom Wilson, but it's just, you know, people are bloodthirsty. They're out for this guy.
If Ryan Reeves played them next year,
yep.
Like, you know, they play them, and he decides he just wants to take a piece out of them and just, you know, whatever, fights them and just hits a KO shot and doesn't help him to, like, you know what I mean, like, stop his fall to the ice. And you see Tom Wilson's head bouncing off the ice in a way that might kill him. I will bet you guys a lot of money that the initial instant reaction from a majority of people would be, hell yeah, that rule.
He had it coming.
He's really hurt. Live by the sword, die by the sword.
So, quick question. How we talk about Tom Wilson. I actually got a chance to look up that Todd Berdetsky versus Steve Moore hit. It was insane. Where do you guys fall on that line, though, in terms of was this a one-time thing for Todd? Or was Todd always like that as well? I don't know the history of him.
No, he's not. He was not somebody that had a goon reputation around the NHL. He was
but
a bigger guy.
Egregious that was.
I know. Yeah, he just snapped. Wilson's a guy that is a repeat offender. I think the answer here, and what Wilson did last night, to be fair, is not in the same class as the Bertuzzi hit that Chris brought up. But to me, it's just it's happened too many times, and he doesn't seem to want to stop. What I would do is I would give Wilson the Matt Cook punishment. I'd say your first playoff series, you're out. And that takes a top-line player and a really good player away from the Capitals. And now the rest of the team.
And the game is going to be highly competitive as well.
The whole series. It goes seven, you're out seven games. It goes five, you're out five. And now the entire team, The organization down to the dressing room has to deal with the fact that this guy is out of control. Right. And maybe then, when they don't have a good player for a playoff series and they lose, it opens their eyes to the way he's acted. That's what I would
do. Then they can tweet out something, you know, funny about that. Yeah. I think that would be the perfect response, right?
Text us.
At Capitals chooses elimination.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Jim Colony on the Penguins' loss last night, and if there should be any concerns that came out of that ugly one to the Flyers. It's a Roundtable Tuesday. We got Cale Berger, the nephew of Dan Marino, sitting in with us. Arthur Motes, the former Steeler, and Pony and Muller on 93.7 The Fan. And right now, we'll go to break.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.